the introduction that Brother Joe announced to me about me, I don't know if I ought to preach or not. And I don't know if I will preach, but Lord being our helper, I appreciate very much the things that have gone before and the things that Brother Josh and Brother Charles both appreciate very much that, and I agree, not that it means too much for me to agree, but I agree 100%. There's a parallel phrase, I believe, found in what Brother Charles was talking about, the kingdom. And thoughts have been on my mind for some time, and I've never tried to preach on it. So if I mess it up real bad, cast a mantle of charity over me and come to me afterward, don't just get up and walk out. That would be tacky. The subject that has troubled me for a number of years is the subject of eternal life. Y'all hear me all right. I can probably get a little bit louder if I need to, but maybe I won't need to. At the outset, I want to make it clear that I believe that on the day of the resurrection, we are going to be raised to true eternal life.
Amen.
It's never going to end. It involves us. We can't resurrect ourselves, so God is going to have to do that. So I want to get that out to this at the outset, and I may refer to that as post-resurrection life. That's my own phrase. So if anybody wants to use it, feel free to do so. That life is one that is never going to end. We're going to dwell in the presence of God. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be like Him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a day-to-day existence. It's going to be whatever eternal means. That's where we're going to be. That's what we're going to be.
Yeah.
Just as God is eternal, in that day, we're going to be eternal.
Amen.
Now, there are a lot of places in the New Testament that speak of eternal life. And I'm going to try not to keep y'all too late for lunch. I'm already getting hungry, so y'all can maybe take some hope in that. There was a scripture that I want to go to. I want to go to, first of all, to the nineteenth chapter of Matthew, 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now notice that this man is alive. And I don't think that he is asking this question out of any malice toward the master.
Right.
There's one, in another instance over in the book of Luke, where the man came to him and asked him the same question, tempting him. Mm-hmm. So he asked the question with malice at heart. But I believe that this man, for whatever reason, that this may be my take on it, but I don't think he had any ulterior motives for asking Jesus this question. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, I don't think he's asking Jesus, how can I get to heaven? Because Jesus spells out for him things that he can do. Now, if you came to me and asked me, what can I do to make sure I'm going to heaven, I'm going to tell you right quick, there ain't nothing you can do.
Right.
Now, this is not what Jesus tells him.
No.
Notice what Jesus says. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, I don't know if any of you have a Young's literal translation of the Bible. I've got one that I use for study. And it says, if thou wilt enter into life, there's an article before it. In the literal translation, it says, if thou wilt enter into this life, the life that is under consideration.
Yeah.
Because a man's already alive.
Yep.
So he's not trying to pull any wool over his eyes or anything like that.
Yep.
But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's a good answer.
Yep.
It's a true answer.
Yes.
Because that is what, and Brother Charles talked about entering into the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
What was necessary to enter into the kingdom? Keep the commandments.
Yep.
It's just it, pretty much simple. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Is there something else that I need to do to enter into this life that is under consideration in the context that is given? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, if you want to do all that is required of you to enter into this life, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, it doesn't say that he didn't go do that. He may have just been sorry that he's going to have to give up all of his possessions. But the disciples then asked him, Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me he's talking about the same thing.
Yep.
Enter in to have eternal life and enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Now this is a question that always kind of puzzled me or bumfuzzled me or whatever. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Man can't figure out how to enter into the kingdom.
Right.
But God has got it figured out.
Yeah.
And this is what the gospel being preached in that day was, to instruct people, instruct the sheep into the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah.
It was to give them the necessary things that they must do to enter into this eternal life. Into this kingdom of God. And the brother talked about the kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And the life that is in Christ Jesus is an eternal life.
Amen.
And to say that we're going to enter into that eternal life some other way, we're mistaken. It can't be done. Now, so I'm pretty sure that when the scripture talks about these things, about eternal life, is not talking for the most part about that post-resurrection eternity. He's talking about something that we as the people of God can do in order to enter into that life. Because Jesus said over in, let's go to John, 10th chapter of John, I believe it is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Notice who all is under consideration.
Yeah.
Nobody else, just sheep.
Amen.
No, you know, that's all, to me, that's all Jesus is talking to. He talks about others, but he doesn't talk to others.
Yes.
When he gives instructions, he gives them to the sheep. He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, by the way, every time we see the word saved, it does not mean post-resurrection salvation.
Right.
We've got a lot of salvation here on earth that we need to be working out, doing, striving others to enter into this deliverance, this salvation, whatever you want to, however you want to phrase it. This is one of those salvations that we got here. He says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life. They who? The sheep. They might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. That's right.
Yep.
You know, you can have life and it be kind of skimpy.
Right.
But you can have life and you can have it abundantly.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I want to go to a definition of eternal life, as I believe is the context that he's talking about. These words, 17th chapter of John, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's any universalists out there, y'all can just shut your ears, because y'all are not included in this. Just as many as thou hast given him.
Amen.
And this is life eternal.
Yes. Amen.
This.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I got to trying to figure out just what is eternal life here, I can have a pretty good idea of what it is. I'll go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and read it all the way through, and you'll get a pretty good idea of what post-resurrection eternal life is all about.
Yeah.
But here we have a definition that gives us some pretty plain instruction. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Yeah.
The more we know about him, the more we know him and draw closer to him, and to know him in this experiential way, that's a big word. It means to experience.
Amen.
The more we experience Jesus Christ and the only true God, the more abundant this eternal life that we have is.
Amen.
That is. And he says, this is life eternal, to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, there were those when Jesus was here that saw him, they walked with him, they talked to him, they saw the miracles that he did, and he made the statement very plainly. He says, you don't know my Father and you don't know me.
That's right.
Now, how much eternal life do you think they got? I'd say, you know, zilch. But he says here that eternal life is to know God the Father. Now, this is something that the gospel, if I understand it right, is to teach the sheep, to teach the children of God to know God, to know more about him, to love him. You know, I love my wife. One of the brethren yesterday talked about when he and his wife first met, said he loved her pretty good bit. said, been married for 35 years, I think you said, and said, loves her now more than he did when they married. I'm the same way with my wife. She was all right when we got married. And if I want her to know that, I'll. She was all right. But now, and she and I have been married for 25 years. I love her now, and I'm much more top. Those of you that have, I might say this is a personal. My first wife decided she liked somebody else better than me, so she left and married them. Then I married Diane. Some of you have met her. It takes some getting used to. And that's why I said when I married her, she was all right. She tolerated me. She tolerated me being an old Baptist preacher, which the first one never did. She told me one time, she said, I didn't marry a preacher. Now, Diane married a preacher. She knew she married a preacher. She tolerated me, and I was not under any illusions about her ever being a primitive Baptist. And if I ever had any illusions, she has disavowed me of those over the years. That she's never, unless the Lord comes and smites her between the eyes, she's never going to be a primitive Baptist. But I love her.
Yes.
When Friday morning, Thursday night, when I was getting ready to get my stuff together to come over here, she says, "Have you got somewhere to stay?" I said, "Well, they said that there'd be places to stay." She said, "Why don't I get you a room?" You know, a lot of wives have said, "Well, you ain't going off without me." But she goes and takes her, really, she's Hilton Honors. You know, you do much traveling, but she does. She gets those points. So anytime I'm going to a meeting, she's my biggest encouragement. Because I had just about decided I wasn't going to come. You know, it's been so easy to stay at home. Yeah. I mean, I'll be 77 years old next Friday. And it gets easier to stay home the older you get. Some of your older brethren, some of your older brethren had to look around and find somebody I thought might fit the bill. Some of y'all, you know that gets more. But when I don't come, I'm losing out on something.
Yeah.
I'm losing out on some of my eternal life that I have here.
Right. Yeah.
And when I do come and enjoy the fellowship and the singing and the preaching that we hear, and sometimes even enjoy the effort to preach. See, that's the kingdom that I hope that I am in, that I want to press into. Now, I was going somewhere with that, but I don't remember now where it was. Let's go. As I said, the gospel is to instruct us into the kingdom. It is to instruct us in the kingdom, and it is to show us how we can have the eternal life more abundantly than we would have if we didn't have the gospel.
Right.
Now, do I think that everybody that is not like us old Baptists, do they not have eternal life? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. By the way, one of the requirements for obtaining this eternal life is believing.
Yeah.
Now, we kind of get kind of scared of that sometimes. Well, you got to believe. Well, belief is one of the requirements for entering into the kingdom.
Right.
Belief is one of the requirements of laying hold on this eternal life.
Amen. Right.
That is ours.
Yes, right. Amen.
It doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to us.
Right.
Now, The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, I'm going to pick up a couple places here and see if I can draw this to a close. I pointed out that I have a lot of markers, bookmarks in my Bible. And it's not necessarily because I'm going to go to each one of them and try to expound on them. It's just that's the way I study. Now, first chapter of 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, would you believe if I told you that I think the Apostle Paul was in pretty good possession of eternal life?
Yeah.
Pretty good. Didn't have all of it, because if you go to the book of Philippians, you'll find that he hadn't quite got there yet.
Yep.
He was striving toward it, but he hadn't got there yet. He knew that there was more to come. There was more that the trials and tribulations of this life, and when the Lord gave him that thorn in the flesh to keep him from being exalted above measure, if it hadn't have been for that thorn in the flesh, this is speculation, I believe he'd have had eternal life down, you know, had it. But he had enough of it, he could teach it. And he was teaching Timothy. Notice what he said. He says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on him to life everlasting."
Right.
So he's been teaching them to believe that they might have everlasting life. Now, let's go a little bit further. Let's go over here to the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. Notice what he says. Well, I'll begin with the 10th verse. I realize it's beginning in the middle of a phrase, but it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." What did they do? They lost some of their eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might not have this total. You can't just lose all of it, I don't think.
Right.
Once God has you, he's got you.
Yeah. Right.
And once you have him, you have him.
Right.
Now, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Who's he talking to? He's talking to a preacher. And if Timothy is getting this admonition, this exhortation, this encouragement from the Apostle Paul, we got to realize that it could apply to us too.
Yeah, right.
Now, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life."
Yep.
Oh, what a joy it is when we lay hold on
eternal life.
I have laid hold on it lots of times in my life. I've let it slip lots of times in my life, but I never lost it. Because if I ever lost it, what would I have to go back to? I couldn't find anywhere to go. "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, let's skip over here just a little bit further in this same chapter. "Charge them that are rich in this world." Notice something, the little thing going on here. It's about money.
Yep.
The love of money is the root of all evil. And it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God."
That's right.
Yep.
What's he saying? Trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. What did he tell that rich young ruler back over there? "Take that thou hast and sell it and give it to the poor, and come and follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven."
Yes.
So Paul is writing to Timothy, telling him to charge these that were rich in the reaching the world, same thing. He says, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
So he's not telling them how to get saved and go to heaven.
No.
He's telling them how to enjoy this life that they have. And he says, I am come that they, the sheep, might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
If we follow these directions that the apostle gives, not just back over before this, but to Timothy, that this is what he's to be preaching, then this is teaching them how to have life and have it more abundantly, to lay hold on it and get the full enjoyment of it. And, you know, I have done very few really good deeds in my life, but every time I did, one of the things that I didn't ever do, I didn't ever tell anybody about. I'm going to tell y'all one that I don't think I told anybody about. One more Sunday morning, I was on my way to church and had stopped by the post office. And there was a man in there that said, I need you to pray for me. And he told me his story. And somebody, his relative, he was there from Tennessee or somewhere, and he didn't ask me for money. He wanted me to pray for him. And he said, I guess you're on your way to church. I said, yes, sir. I said, we will pray for you. He said, no, I mean for you to pray for me right now.
Yeah.
And then, I think y'all are the first ones I've even mentioned that to. But you know, I felt something then that I didn't have to go proclaim it to the world. That's something that you get in here.
Amen.
And when I, just a brief prayer that God would be with him, be with the family, and be with the doctors. And then, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. And he thanked me for that. But see, that's being willing to communicate, to distribute, to give. You know, when the disciples, the apostles, when that beggar was laying there at the door of the temple, and what he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee.
Right. Yep.
And he says, in the name of Jesus, take up thy bed and walk. And by the way, if you go back and read that sometime there in the book of Acts, you'll find that this man didn't need physical therapy when he got through. He leapt. He started leaping going into the temple praising God. Now, one more place I want to go to, and I'm going to close. This is in the book of, there may be two more places. Y'all, we got about five more minutes I can go. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We go all the way back to the book of John for that, but of course it's John writing this. Now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now let's go over here to the 10th verse. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself that God hath made him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Now, I would say that this man is not in possession of eternal life, because belief is a prerequisite for it. So he doesn't believe the record, so he doesn't have it. Now, am I going to send him to hell? I'm going to leave that up to God, you know. I quit that a long time ago. And this is a record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
Amen.
The closer we draw to the Son, the more abundant this eternal life is.
Amen.
Jesus spoke well. Everything he said, he spoke well. 11th chapter of Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yeah.
This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the one only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So you want to get rid of all your burdens and all your cares, you can't go back to the law. Come unto me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Now, he that hath the Son hath this life.
Yeah.
I put that this in there. It's not, not in my King James. He says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. There's a lot of other places I could go. But just study on these things. And Brother Joe said I sometimes have a different way of looking at things. Sometimes I have to just beat myself over the head with something to get me to go and dig deep enough to make myself understand it. And I still don't understand all I know about eternal life.
Amen.
But I feel like I know a little bit more than I did about it when I started really digging into it the other day.
Yep.
Pray
Amen.
For me when you have a mind.
Amen.
Amen.
One, two, three.